We begin the current daf Masechet Yuma daf Ayin. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, our Mishnah told us, we're basically towards the end of the second phase of the five phases that there are in the Avodas of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, which the transitions from one type of Begadim to the other type. And we already did the Big Day Zahav, the Shemayin Begadim, with the Tamid Shel Shachar primarily. Then we're by the end of the Big Day Lavan, which is the second phase, which in that procedure was the par and the sa'ir that were done inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Pareches and the Mizbeach HaZav, and there was also the sending away of the Sar Lazazel, and now we already did the Keteris, which were brought inside, which are burning the incense inside the Kachar Kachim, and then the Parim and the Sirim HaSrafim were sent out to be burned. And then the Kohen Gadol, after he hears that the Sar Lazazel was sent out to the Midbar, then he goes to read from the Sefer Torah, and he reads three different parashas, and we said that he reads the first two from the Sefer Torah, which is Parashat Achrei Mois, and then from Parashas Emor. Then he goes, and as the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, the Goyel Sefer Torah v'chulu, he rolls up the Sefer Torah, and he says that, you know, more than what I read is inside the Sefer Torah, and he holds the Sefer Torah, and then he reads the next parasha Baal Peh. So the Gemara asks, v'kol kach lama, why was it necessary for him to say this, that whenever we have finished landing in the Beis HaKnesses, we don't say this, why was it necessary after he finished reading to say that you should just know that more than what I read is in the Sefer Torah? So that the Gemara says, Kadesh Loi Lahoitzi Laz al Sefer Torah, that they shouldn't spread rumors about the Sefer Torah, because since, as we'll explain shortly why that is, the third parsha from the Torah that he reads, which is from Sefer Bamidbar, that he would do by heart. Now people would think, wait a second, why is he closing up the Sefer Torah and reading it by heart? Must be this Sefer Torah is missing that parsha. So not to be Meitzi Laz, to make aspersions about this Sefer Torah that it's missing, where it's from the Torah, he says, you should just know there are more words over here. Now, however, I'm going to read this next thing by heart. That's not relevant to this Sefer Torah. It's not because it's missing any words. There's actually many more words in this Sefer Torah. So the Gemara goes to continue quoting from the Mishnah, which will address this point that said, Uve Aser, Shalchomash HaPikudim, the parasha of Uve Aser, which is in Sefer Midbar, he would read Kar Al Peh, he would say it by heart. He wouldn't say that from inside the Torah. And that's why we said that he has to say an announcement after he finished rolling up the Sefer Torah. You should just know there really is more words. It's not relevant to the reason why I'm saying it out by heart. But however, the Gemara asks, Amai, what is the reason why he says the third parasha by heart? Nigla v'nikri. Let him roll the Sefer Torah till he gets from where he is in Sefer v'yikra, which is Parashat Achrei Mois and Parashat Emor, and let him roll all the way to Sefer b'midbar, and Parashat Pinchas will have the rest of the parashas of Sefer of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, which is what he's reading. So that Amar Rav Huna, B'Reid Rav Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes, similar to like we had mentioned in the previous daf. The reason is, Lafisha in Goylin Sefer Torah B'tzibur, we don't roll a Sefer Torah for the public when we're reading out in by the Tzibur. And they cover the Tzibur because of the honor of the Tzibur. It's not proper. It's not appropriate that the Tzibur, the public, should be waiting and sitting still with nothing to do because they're waiting for the Sefer to be read and it's not ready because it takes a while to roll from Sefer Yikra to Sefer Bamidbar. And therefore, he wouldn't go ahead and roll it. Rather, they would close it up and they would say it by heart. But the Gemara asked, fine, we understand that you can't roll from Sefer Yikra to Sefer Bamidbar. But v'nai sechrini, bring another Sefer Torah that's already been prepared and rolled from before Yom Kippur, and then v'nikri, and then let him read the third parasha from the Sefer Torah itself, so people won't have to wait. That's the Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, he says, you can't do that either. Mishum pagam eshal rishon, because of the deficiency that's going to be related to this, to the first Sefer Torah, because they're going to say, oh, why are we bringing a new Sefer Torah to read from? Why don't we read from the first one? Must be, it's missing this parasha. So not to create a deficiency by the first one, we don't go ahead and bring a new one. Rish Lakish, he says a different reason why we don't go ahead and bring a new Sefer Torah. He says, Mishum bracha she'in the tzricha, because it's going to be a bracha that's not necessary. Meaning, because what happens is, if you close up that Sefer Torah and you open up a new Sefer Torah, he's going to have to go ahead and make a new bracha on the Torah. Now that's not necessary, because essentially, he could have gone with the same bracha with the first Sefer Torah. But just we don't want them to wait. So therefore, we close it up, but we're not going to go ahead and bring a new one, because then he's going to have to make a new bracha, which is, quote, unnecessary. You could have maintained the first bracha, and we don't want to do a bracha shein tzricha, so therefore he just says it by heart. So those are two reasons why we don't bring a new Sefer Torah. We can't roll it, because we don't want them to wait, and we don't bring a new Sefer Torah, either because people are going to think the first one's missing it, or because he's going to have to make a new bracha, which is unnecessary. But now the Gemara asks, on the first pshat of Rav Huna by Yehuda, are we concerned about when we bring a new Sefer Torah, people are going to say, hey, why are we bringing a new one? Must be there was something wrong with the first one. But Vamar Bitzchak Nafcha, he says the halacha is the Rish Chodesh Tevis Shchalis B'Shabbos. When the Rish Chodesh of Tevis, which is when the Yom Tov of Chanukah falls and that goes from Kislev through Tevis, When that comes out on Shabbos, Mevin Shalosh Torahs, we bring three Sifrei Torah to the Bima. V'karin achas ben yonah shel yom, one Sefer Torah, read the Parsha HaShavua. V'achas shel Rosh Chodesh, one of them we read what we normally read on Rosh Chodesh. And v'achas shel Chanukah, one we read the Parshas that we read on Chanukah with the Chanukas HaMizbeach. So therefore we see that we do bring other Sefer Torah. We're not concerned that people are going to say, hey, why don't we just use the first Sefer Torah? Why we bring other Sefer Torah? Must be something wrong. We don't say that. So why are we saying over here that we can't bring another Sefer Torah ready scrolled to Sefer Bamidbar? Now the Gemara answers, Tlasa Gavri b'tlasa Sifri, three different individuals who are getting three different aliyahs from three different Sefer Torah, Lekha B'Gama. That's not a deficiency in the first Sefer Torah, because we say each one will get his own Sefer Torah. However, Chad Gavri betrays Sifri, Lekha B'Gama. But if one individual, who is the Kohen Gadol, he's the only one reading, and we switch in middle from one Sefer Torah to another, that is a pagam, that is something that's disparaging to the first Sefer Torah, because he's the same individual. Let him continue reading from the same one. Must be people are going to say there's something wrong with it, and that's why we don't go ahead and bring a new Sefer Torah, already scrolled, to Sefer Bamidbar. But on Rosh Chodesh, that falls on Shabbos, that's on Chanukah, that we have three Sefer Torah, that's not a problem, because it's three different people getting those aliyahs. Now the Mishnah said that after he finished reading these three parashas, Umavarcha Leshmeinah Brachas, he makes three brachas after he finishes reading these three parashas. So the Gemara brings a brisa that clarifies this halacha. Trabbanim, learn the brisa. The first bracha is Al HaTorah, which is Kederech Shemavarcha Meveis HaKnesses, like we make a bracha in Shul after someone gets an aliyah. He makes Ashenas Lo Natoras Emes. That's the bracha, the first bracha he makes after finishes reading. The second bracha is Al HaVoida, which is Ritzei Ve'Al HaIdah, that's Meidim. And then for the forgiveness of the sins, Ketikna, these are all the things like the way we say it in davening, that we say this by Yom Kippurim, we say about Mechilas Avoinus, we say Ritzei, we say Maidim. Then he makes Val Migdash Befnei Atzma, a separate bracha for the base of Migdash, Val Kahan Befnei Atzma, and for the Kahanim by themselves, Val Yisrael Befnei Atzma, a separate bracha for the Jewish people, that Hashem chose the Jewish people, Var Shar Tefillah, and then for the rest of davening. Now the Gemara brings Tarabon, within the Braisa, what clarifies what is this last bracha, Al Shar Tefillah. Ushar Tfilah, that we said in the Mishnah, that is a reference to Rina, song, Tkechina, supplication, Bakasha, request, Milfanecha, that we do in front of you, Hashem, Alam Chi Yisrael, for the Jewish people, Shetzichel Nebashayah, that they need to be saved. V'chaisim, and he concludes, B'shemiah Tfilah, with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shemiah Tfilah. That was the eight brachas he made after finishing the reading from the Sifrei Torah. And then after he finished reading from the Sefer Torah, everybody that was there would bring their own Sefer Torah from their home, and they would read from it, to show how beautiful each one's Sefer Torah was to everybody else. And that was a glory for everyone that had a Sefer Torah, that they wanted to show how much effort they made in beautifying their Sefer Torah. As the Pasuk says in Az Yashar, this is my God, and I will beautify him. As the Gemara elsewhere darshins, you should make mitzvahs beautiful. You should have a beautiful lulav, you should have a beautiful Sefer Torah, and that's what they were showing off. Everyone came to show their own Sefer Torah and read from it, to show they had a beautiful cloth, parchment, beautiful ink they use, a professional scribe. And of course, Rashi says these were brought from before Yom Kippur so that they should be here and people won't have to take it on Yom Tiv. However, that's what after the Kohen Gadol would finish reading, everyone brought their own Sefer Torah and they would all learn from the Torah showing off their beautiful Sefer Torah. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying that Haroya Kohen Gadol b'chulu, whoever saw the Kohen Gadol reading from the Sefer Torah, did not see the Kahana burning the Parim and the Sirim HaNisrafim, which were taken out of the three camps. And those who saw them burning the Parim and Sirim HaNisrafim did not see the Kohen Gadol reading from the Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah said that Loimim Neishen Rishai, it's not because you're not allowed to if you're by one to see the other. It's just not feasible because they were taking place at the same time and they were so far away, it wasn't possible that you could be in both places at the same time. Now, the Gemara asks, Pshita, it's pretty obvious. Why would you think that what the Tana is saying would be a prohibition? That yes, if you were there, you can't be there, and if you're there, you can't be there. What would be the problem with that? And I think my answer is interestingly, Ma'adu Teima Kedir Rish Lakish. You would have thought to say like Rish Lakish. And that is the Amr Rish Lakish says, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. This is a klal brought throughout Shas, that you're not allowed to bypass a mitzvah. If you encounter one mitzvah first, you can't pass it by to go to another mitzvah. Now, therefore, I would have thought to say that this, if you're by one of them, either by the burning of the Parim and the Seirim, or by the Kohen Gadol reading, that's considered you're involved in the mitzvah, and you can't leave it and go to the other one. So it's actually saying that you're not allowed to. Now, my mitzvah, what mitzvah would it be by just watching, by being a spectator from either the burning of the Parim and the Seirim, or from watching the Kohen Gadol read from the Sefer Torah? There is a mitzvah. Because, as the Pasuk tells us in Mishle, B'roiv Am Hadris Melech, with the multitude of the people is the glory for the king. So I would think to say that you are a participant of this beautiful mitzvah, B'roiv Am. And hence you're engaged in a mitzvah of whichever one you're in, and you can therefore not go to the other one until it concludes. Kamash Malon, that's what the Chiddush was, that no, that you're not considered that you're being Mavar ala mitzvahs, because you're not actually involved. You might be a variable in this mitzvah that the Kohen Gadol is doing, or the ones that are burning, and you're making their mitzvah a more beautiful mitzvah. But you yourself are not considered Mavar mitzvahs if you would go from one to the other, and that's what the Mishnah is telling you. It's not that you weren't allowed to. If they were close near each other, you would be able to go from one to the other. However, they were just telling you that's not feasible, because since they're so far and they're taking place at the same time, that's why I'm saying if you were by one, you obviously were not by the other one. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, which continues along the Avodas Hayom. So up until now, the majority of this Masechta, from the beginning up until now, we were going through the first two phases. Again, the first one was the Bigdei Zahav, where he did primarily Tumah Shel Shachar. Then the second one was with the Bigdei Lavan, that he did primarily the Parim and the Seirim, the power of the Kohen Gadol, and the Sar LaShem, which were the bloods were brought inside. The Sar LaZaz was sent away, and he went and he did the Keteris in the interim. And then at the end of that is what we said, that he was reading from the Sifrei Torah. Now, the Mishnah says that in the Bigdei Butz Kaire, as the previous Mishnah said, he had an option of if he wanted to wear his own clothing when he was reading from the Sifrei Torah, or if he was going to continue wearing the white linen garments that he wore for the second phase, which were for the Avodas Hayom. So if he maintained that and he kept on wearing the white linen garments when he read from the Sefer Torah, so Kiddush Yadav Raglav. Now, what he does now is he sanctifies his hands and his feet, because every time before he goes to immerse in the mikveh, he first does Kiddush Darmaglayim before and then after. So then Pashat Yard would tell, then he would take off his clothing, he would go down into the mikveh and immerse. All of an estabik, he would come out and dry himself off. The Eviloi Bigdei Zav Lavash. Then he came to phase three, moving now, transitioning from the Bigdei Lavan, again back to the golden garment, to the Shemayin Begadim, and he would put them on. And then the Kiddush Yad Baraglav, but again, he would sanctify his hands and his feet. Now, for the third phase, the Yatsa V'Ases Eloi V'Es'el Ha'am. Then he went to do his ram, and the ram of the people. Ve'eshivas kvasim temimim b'nei shana, and also the seven complete lambs that were a year old, which these are from the Musafim of Yom Kippurim. Dear Rebbe Lezer, that's the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, what he did now, which was phase three. Rebbe Kiva, I mean, he says that no. He said that these shivas kvasim, im tamet shel shachar hayikrev, they actually were not done now in phase three, when he's wearing the big dizav the second time. Rather, it was together with the morning tamid, which was phase one, when he wore the big dizav for the first time. Upar ha'ayla, and the bull of the ayla, which was also from the Masafin, which Yigmar will clarify which part of the statement of it, is it from Rebbe Kiva, is it together with the first half of a statement, that also the power of ha'ayla was done with the Tamat Shal Shachar, or is it with the next phase, which he's going to say now, that v'se'ir ha'nas b'chutz, and the sa'ir, the higot that's done outside, not the one that's the sa'ha nas b'fnim, which is the sa'ar la'ashem, but rather a different higot, which is done outside, ha'yikrevin im Tamat Shal Ben Harbayim. They were brought, again, it's not clear if Par Ha'il is with that one, or it was with the Tamed Shel Shachar. However, at least the Higo that's done outside was brought with the Tamed Shel Ben Harbayim, which again, when was the Tamed Shel Ben Harbayim? That was phase five. That was when he put on the golden garments for the third time, because it went Beged Zahav, Beged Lavan, Beged Zahav, Beged Lavan, and then Beged Zahav. So the Sar HaNasa B'chutz was done in phase five. And again, it's not clear if Par Ha'il was in phase one or in phase five. And that's because we're talking about these are the Karban Musafin, when they were done. Now, after he does that, Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, this is, we're talking about after phase three, when they did his Ayil and the Ayil Ha'am, which again, we have Machlikas, Rebbe Leza and Rebbe Kiva. When is it when they did the Shivas Kvasim Timim B'nei Shana? Rebbe Leza holds that it was part of phase three, when he did these Musafin. Rebbe Kiva holds that not. He holds that it was actually brought with the Tumat Shel Shachar phase one. Either way, when we finish phase three, Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, he would sanctify his hand and his feet, Upashat Yard with Tavel, then he would take off his clothing, he would go down into the mikveh and immerse himself. V'olim in the stopping, then he would come out and dry himself off. Then he would go into phase four. Hiviloi Bigdei Lavan. Then the Eila'am was clear that that was the ram, and the ram of the people was phase three. It's just the Shaila regarding the other ones, as we had this Machlegesh of Elezer Mekiva. However, when he finished phase three, that's again his ram and the ram of the people, and maybe some others, he would go into phase four, which they would bring him again the white linen garments. Then he would put it on and again sanctify his hands and his feet. Then he would go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again, that's why he needed the white linen garments. To take out the ladle that had the Keteris and the pan of which they had the coals which the Keteris were burnt on. Then, after he did that, which was the fourth Avodah, which he had to put on the white linen garments just to take out the shovel and the pan, Kiddush the Beraglav, he sanctified his hands and his feet. Again, Pashat Beyard Betavol, he would take off his clothing, go down to the mikveh Nemaris. All of in the stomach, he would come out and dry himself off. So that was the end of phase four. Now we go into phase five. Hivile Bigdi Zahav Olabish. Now they brought him the golden garments, again, the Shemayin Begadim, the eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wears throughout the year, and he would put them on. V'kiddush the Beraglav, and then again, he would sanctify his hands and his feet. V'nichnas Lahakter Keteris Shal Bein Abayim. Now he would again do Keteris, but this wasn't the special Keteris of once a year in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. This was the regular one done in the Heichal on the Mizbeach HaZav. He would bring the Keteris of the evening. As we know, there was Keteris every day, half in the morning, half in the evening. V'lahotav Esaneris, and then to prepare the candles, to light the candles, which he does every day towards the end of the day. Then after he finished, which that's the last thing he does, which he lights the menorah, V'kiddush yada v'raglu v'pashat. Then he would go ahead and sanctify his hands and his feet, and he would take off his clothing, which is the Bigdei Zahav. Hivilei Bigdei Atzmei v'lavish. Then he would bring him his own garments that he wears. It's his own private garments. U'malava noisei ad beisei. Then this was the conclusion of all the five phases. They would escort him to his house. V'yamtiv hayoisei lo oyavav. And he would make a yamtiv for all his friends. At the time when he would leave safely from the Kodesh, which was a very precarious situation, there were many that would die because they weren't worthy. This that he was safely home, after Yom Tov, he would go ahead and make a celebration, a festive meal for all his friends. Now, the Gemara asked the following question, as we had already alluded to this in the Mishnah, regarding the term that we said regarding Upar HaOilah. When Rabbi Akiva was saying there regarding what he holds, regarding the Masafim when they were done, which he argues on Rabbi Eliezer, there was the words Upar HaOilah. So Ibailu had the following question. Heichi Kamer, what was Rabbi Akiva saying when he said the words Upar HaOilah? As follows. Im Tamid Shal Shachar HaYikraven? Was it that he was saying that they're brought together with the Tamid Shal Shachar, which is together with the Zayin Kvasim, with the seven lambs? However, Upar HaOilah B'sar HaNas B'chutz Im Tamid Shal Bein HaBayim? So he was saying that, look, Rabbi Laza, I understand that you're saying that the seven kvasim, the musafim, are brought in the third phase. On that, Rabbi Akiva said that I argue with that, and I say that they're brought in the first phase in the Tamid Shal Shachar. However, when he says the words of Par HaOilah, that wasn't a continuation from that phrase, that it should be brought in the first phase. Rather, it was going on this last half of his sentence, that he was saying, Par HaOilah, V'sar HaNas B'chutz, that was in Tamid Shal Bein HaBayim. Just like the sar that's done outside was with the tumet of the evening, actually, with phase 5, so too was the par ha'oil with phase 5. Idil mahochikama, or maybe the Gemara asked, this is what he was saying. No, this that I'm arguing you with the seven lambs, Rebbe Laz, that you say it's in phase 3, I say no. I say, im tumet shal shach ha'yikraven, the seven lambs were brought with the tumet in the morning, phase 1. Upar ha'oil badayo, now when he said the next words, upar ha'oil, that was together with the first half of this statement, that also comes with the tumet shal shachar. However, and that's where he continues with the second half of his sentence, V'sar ha'nasa v'chutz im tamet shal bein abayim. However, the sar that's done outside, that was with the tamet shal bein abayim, that was in phase 5. So that's one question the Gemara has. This words, what he says, upar ha'oilah, which are from the Masafim, which part of the Masafim is it? Because even the Masafim are split up. There are those, the seven lambs that Rabbi Akiva holds, is it with the tamet shal shachar? So is that what it's with? Or is it the sar ha'nasa b'chutz, where he holds that's done actually with the last tamet, the tamet shal bein abayim, which is phase 5, is that when it's brought? That's one question the Gemara has. V'su, another question the Gemara had was as follows. Par ha'oilah, the bull of the oilah, which Rabbi Akiva addresses. However, Rabbi Eliezer, the Shaire, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that he leaves it out, he doesn't tell us when it's done. He only mentions the Shivas Kvasim, that they're done. Those Masafim are done by phase 3, which Rabbi Akiva argues and says it's done by phase 1. But he doesn't address, which Rabbi Akiva does address, which we're not clear even what Rabbi Akiva is addressing of the Par HaOilah, is that phase 1 or phase 5, but at least he addressed it. Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't address it, a Masavad Lahu, when would he hold that they're done? Now, Rashi says that technically the Gemara could have asked also regarding the Sar HaChitzen, which also Rabbi Eliezer doesn't address, and Rabbi Akiva does address, which he says that's actually done with phase 5, with Tamash HaBein HaBayim. However, just picks the first of those cases, which he doesn't address. Gemara is asking, when would he hold it comes in the order? Besu, in the third question the Gemara had, according to the opinions that I mentioned in our Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, Bein L'Rabbi Eliezer, Bein L'Rabbi Akiva, according to both those opinions, there's still something missing from the Avodah Zarah that's not telling us in our Mishnah when it's done. And that is, Emuri Chatas, the sacrificial parts of the chatois that are brought inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which we had learned in the previous parak, that he tears open the animals and he takes out the sacrificial parts and he puts it in the magis, into the container, until it's time to sacrifice them. When are those sacrificed? We don't know. We know that at the time that it was torn open, he wasn't doing it yet then. It had to be a later time. But when is it done? Phase 3, phase 5? It's not clear. So the Gemara has three questions that's ambiguous based on the opinions mentioned in our Mishnah. So Amar Rava, Rava comments regarding these questions we had according to the opinions of Elazar Mekiva in our Mishnah. He says, truthfully, lo mishkachas lo, you're not going to figure out the entire Seder of the Avodas Hayom of Yom Kippurim that's Misakanta, that will be complete, from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah will not give you all the clues. We won't know exactly how it was done based on the opinions of Elazar and Mekiva that are quoted in our Mishnah. Ella, only, the only ways you'll have a clarity in these two opinions of Elazar Mekiva are how they're quoted elsewhere. Either Beleza's version of how it's quoted in the by the Tana of the Beis Shmuel, where there it tells you the entire Seder of everything that we said, we don't know when it's done. Or Rabbi Kiva's version, how he's quoted in Tosefta, where there it's clear about, in the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, when everything is done. As the Gemara explains, what Rava meant by that, that although the versions mentioned on Mishnah is not clear, these two opinions are mentioned elsewhere with clarity. The Tana de Beis Shmuel, because this is what was learned in the yeshiva of Shmuel, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, this was how they quoted Rebbe Eliezer, where here one has to pay attention for all the three questions that we had. It's going to mention all the different items that we weren't clear based on our Mishnah, and here it says Rebbe Eliezer's opinion actually in a variation of how it's mentioned on Mishnah, but it does tell us the entire Seder of everything, where they come in. So after we had done the first two, which up the Masechta up until now had told us where they are, then coming into phase 3, when he puts on the Big Day Zahav, for the second time, it says, Yatza v'asa elo ve'elo ha'am. He would go out and he would do his ram of the ram of the people. Now, Rabbi Eliezer adds on, which again was not clear from a Mishnah, ve'emuri chatas. The sacrificial parts of the chatas were done over here in phase 3. Aval, however, par ha'ela, which again was not clear from a Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer didn't talk about that. Here in the Brisa he does. However, the bull of the ela, v'shibas kvasim, and the seven lambs, and again, another item which wasn't clear, he also didn't mention the Mishnah, Bisar Hanasa Bechutz, and the Sar, the Higo, that's done outside, in other words, in contrast to the one that's done inside the Kutcher Kutchim, this Sar had the bloods put outside in the Azara, they were done Im Tamit Shalbein Habayim. They were done with phase 5 with the Tamit of the evening. Again, at this point, actually, Rebbe Eliezer in the Braisa of Tan Beis Shmuel is not like how he's quoted in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has him in phase 3 having this. However, according to this version, the Shivas Kvasim are not done with phase 3 with the Isle and the Isle of the Yam, but actually it's done in phase 5 with the Tamash Abayin Habayim. However, all the different components that we weren't sure about that we were asking on our Mishnah are all clear and implicit over here in this Brisa. So that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Kiva de Tosefta Mahi, what is this Rabbi Kiva from Tosefta that will also clarify the question that we had on Rabbi Kiva, when is the Emuri Chatas going to be done, which is not clear either in Rabbi Kiva's opinion from our Mishnah. To tell like learn the Braisa. Kiva and Rabbi Kiva says, Par ha'ayla, so this will also answer the question that we had in Rabbi Kiva. We weren't clear about which one is the Par ha'ayla with, the first half of a sentence with the Tamash Shal Shachar, or is it the second half of a sentence with the Sar Nas Bachutz, with the Tamash Abin Habayim. So here it says clearly also, it's also clear, it says that the Par ha'ayla, the bowl of the ayla, Bishivas Kvasim, the seven lambs, Im Tamash Shal Shachar Yikraven, they were brought with the Tamit of the morning, which is the first time he's putting on the golden garments. So therefore it's clear that it was done in phase 1, which again is from the first half of a statement. Shnema, like it says a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, where there it talks about the musafim of every Yom Tov. And this is what we're talking about, because the Shivas Kfasim, these are the seven lambs, they're part of the musafim of Yom Kippurim. So it clarifies, when it talks about Yom Tovim in general, it tells us that actually the term musafim, musaf, means added on to what? So the pasuk says, Milvad oilas habaker, besides for the oil of the morning, asher oilas hatamid, that's the oil that's brought every single day. So what you see from that is that obviously the term musafim means it's being added on to what? Added on to the tamid shel shachar, and therefore it sounds like it should be subsequent, right after the tamid shel shachar is when the carbon musaf comes out. And therefore we learn Yom Kippurim from every Yom Tov, just like every Yom Tov, the musaf comes together right after the tamid shel shachar. So too, Rabbi Kiva holds that the Shivas Kvasim, not like Rabbi Eliezer, especially his version in the Mishnah where he said it's in phase 3, says no, actually they're brought in phase 1. And that includes the Par Ha'ila, which is also a Musaf, because it has to be right after the Oilas Tamit. the achakach avodas hayom. Then he would do the avodas of the day. That was when he would go transition into the white linen garments, which are the parim and the seirim that are done inside the kachak kachim. Then the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, the achakach. Then he would move into phase three, was the sar hanasa b'chutz. That was the higot that was done outside. And that is because, although, and this is what Rashi is addressing, explaining the question, although it is from the carbon musafim, hence it should have been like the other ones that he said, that the shivas kvasim, the para oila, which are musafim, they're done with phase one, because it says, mavar alayis ha-boikash alayis ha-tameh, should come right after the carbon tamid. However, he could not have had this sar hanas b'chutz to come before phase two, which is avodas hayom of the par and the sar that's done specially in Yom Kippur. And that's because, as the Gemara explains, shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, another pasuk, it says, si'i izim echad chatas, that one should bring a he-goat of one that's a chatas. This is the one that's done outside, which is called, what we keep on calling it, sar hachitzan, done in dazara. Milvad chatas hakipurim. Besides for the chatas of, especially of Yom Kippur, which are the ones that are done inside. Now, just like we explained before, the word melvad means to say that first comes the one we're talking about, like we said, oilas atomid, that, and then right after that comes the other one. Hence, that's teaching us that the sar hachatas hapanimi has to come before the sar hanas b'chutz, because it's calling it melvad chalat chatas hakipurim. That means first comes phase two, and only then later can you have the sar hanas b'chutz, but it has to come right after that, because it says melvad. And hence, that's the beginning of phase three. So although, yes, it's a carbon musaf, we couldn't have it phase one, because there's a contradiction from Yom Kippur itself that has to have it coming after, so we have the rest of the musaf in the phase one. But this one, sar hanas b'chutz, has to come after milvad chatzis kippurim, after the chatzis hapanimim. So in phase three, when we're wearing the Shemayim Begadim, the Kohen Gadol then goes, V'achakach Eila V'Eila Ha'am. Then he brings his ram and the ram of the people. V'achakach, and again, this clarifies the third question we had, was Emuri Chatas. Then come the sacrificial parts of the Chatas. Again, all these things are being done in the third time that he emerges. We're in phase three, where he's wearing the golden garments. So again, we have a clarity in Rebbe Kiva's opinion now, because we said where the Paha Eila is done. And we also clarified now the Emuri Chatas, which wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, where it says clearly that's done in phase three. The achakach, and then afterwards you do phase five, which is tamid shel bein harbayim, which is the tamid from the evening. Now, although we're skipping phase four, which is he puts back on the white linen garments to take out the ladle and the pan of the keteres, that's obvious to us, as the Gemara will explain later, that must be that was done after the ram and the ram of the people, and before what he's going to do tamid shel bein harbayim, because everyone agrees there has to be five transitions, five different garments, which have to have five tefillos. And if we wouldn't have that in between, so we would only have three, and therefore we have to know. We know, obviously, there's going to be this of the putting on the white linen garments in between. And then we go into phase five, which is what we're talking about now, which is the tamid shel bein habayim, the tamid of the evening. So again, that's the end of that discussion, which we, Rava said, yes, it's not clear, there's three questions from the way Rebbe Elazar and Rekiva is quoted on Mishnah, but from the Brises, we can have a clarity in both their opinions. Now the Gemara asks, my time with Rebbe Eliezer. What's the reason of Rebbe Eliezer that according to his version, the Musafin are brought with the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim? And that's Rebbe Eliezer's version again of the Brisa, because now Mishnah, he says, actually they're brought in phase three. In the Brisa's version, they're brought with phase five. Why is it? Why are they brought with the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim? So now the Gemara explains, because of it Kedichsev, Rebbe Eliezer had it done the way it's written in the order of the Torah. Because, as the Gemara explains, Ovid Bereisha the Torah's Kohenim, he has the Kohen Gadol first do as it's written in Sefer Vayikra, which comes before Sefer Bamidbar. Now, therefore, he does his ram and the ram of the people, which again, this is phase three. And then he does, in phase three, the sacrificial parts of the Chatois HaPanimi, after he does the Avodas Hayom. Then he does phase four, which is taking out the Kaf and the Machta. V'hadar Ovid, the Chumash HaPikudim, then he does what's written in Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar comes after Sefer Vayikra, which are the Karbon Musafim and the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim, which they're written there at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. And that's why he has it in that order, because although, as Rebbe Kiva brought a Pasuk, which has it coming in the Tamid Shel Shachar, but he says, look at the way it's written in the Torah. Sefer Vayikra is first, that has the ram of the people. Then, of course, as we said, you have to interpose between that with going to take out the ladle, because we have to have five tefillahs. And then afterwards, you have what's in Sefer Bamidbar, which are the carbon masafim. And therefore, that comes with the last carbon of the day, which is the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim. But then the Gemara asks, Rebbe Kiva, what's shot in Rebbe Kiva? Why does he have the masafim coming with the Tamid Shel Shachar, not like Rebbe Eliezer, who has it actually coming with the Tamid Shel Bein Habayim of the evening? So that the Gemara says, "Kadiktani Taima." Like we learned the reason, as it says in Sefer Bamidbar, it says, "Molvad oylasa boiker asher loylasa tamid." The carbon musafim are brought right after the carbon tamid shel shachar, because it says, you know, it's added on besides the tamid shel shachar. Right afterwards comes the musafim. So alma musafim im tamid shel shachar abid lohu. So you see, obviously, that the musafim come right after tamid shel shachar, and that's why it's being brought with the phase one, not like Rabbi Eliezer with phase five. Again, except for the sar hachitzin, which we explained, that's obviously an exception because the pasuk says malvad chatas hakipurim. That tells you that the sar hachitzin is done after the sar hapanimi, and therefore it couldn't be in phase one. Because although generally musafim are in phase one, here it's an exception as the pasuk is telling it to you. So since that's done in phase two, the sar hapanimi, which are the ones that the bloods are thrown achas lamala shav lamata inside, then only afterwards could we have the sar hachitzin, which is done at the beginning of phase three. But now the Gemara asks Rabbi Eliezer, "Hai milvad chatas hakipurim." This pasuk that Rabbi Kiva had brought down that says that besides for the chatas of the ones that are providing atonement, which are the sar hapanimi, which is phase two. Besides for that, is that you bring the sar hachitzin. Now, that sounds like that the sar hachitzin comes before the ram of the Kohen Gadol and the ram of the people. Because since we're saying, look, Rabbi Kiva is bringing it down for the purpose of saying it couldn't be in phase one. Because it's saying it's coming after the sar hapanimi, which is phase two. So therefore it says the beginning of phase three. But now the Gemara is asking on Rabbi Eliezer in the reverse type of way. Because, yes, it must come after the Chatas HaPanimis, so it has to be after phase 2, but it sounds like it must be in the beginning of phase 3, before his Ram of the people. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, my Avadle, what does he do with it? And that is because according to Rabbi Eliezer, they're coming in phase 5. So as Rashi explains, in other words, the Raya that Rabbi Kiva had before, of that it says, Melvad Olas HaBoika, that the Karban Musaf always comes in phase 1, in other words, it always comes after the Karban Tamashal Shachar, and that Rashi explains that that's not a question, because that wasn't said by Yom Kippur, that's written by the other Shalash Regalim, by the Yom Tovim, and therefore Rabbi Lez will say we won't learn Yom Kippur from the Shalash Regalim, because actually we're going to rely on the Seder that's written in the Torah, which has Teres Kanim first, which is the Ram of the Kohen Gadol, the Ram of the people, and then it has Sefer Bamidbar at the end, which has the Musafim coming later in phase 5. But that is what the Gemara is asking. However, here where it says explicitly regarding Yom Kippurim, it's mashma that the Sar HaChitzin has to come right after the Sar HaPanimi. Now, Sar HaPanimi was in phase 2. That means the Sar HaChitzin comes in phase 3. But Rabbi Eliezer said that when are the Musafim coming? When is the Sar HaChitzin coming? That's coming in phase 5 with the Tamashal Bein Arbayim. But the pasuk sounds like it shouldn't be all the way at the end. Sounds like it should be in the beginning of phase 3, right after phase 2, which is the Sar HaPanimi, as it says, Milvad Chatas HaKippurim. So that the Gemara answers, Hahomi Boile. He doesn't learn the terminology Milvad Chatas HaKippurim like Rabbi Kiva does, albeit they're coming from different perspectives. Kiva is just trying to show why it gets pushed off from phase 1 to the beginning of phase 3. But the question of Melaza was that it shouldn't be phase 5. It should be in the beginning of phase 3 after phase 2. He doesn't learn that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you when it says Malvad Chatas Kippurim. He learns it for a different drasha when it's comparing the Chatas, the Sar HaChitzin, to this besides the Sar HaPanimi, which is Almash Zemachaper, for what this one provides atonement for, Zemachaper. That's what this one provides atonement for. Now, there's a Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Shavuos that explains what this is coming to say, and that is, regarding something that has what's called Yediyah at the end, that is regarding the Seirim that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically the Sar HaPanimi, they were being Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshim, for regarding if there was impurities that were involved with things of Kachim. Now, therefore, that was, we said, if someone knows, he has to bring his own carbon. So it's saying that if he finds out about it afterwards, but he didn't know about it before, and that's what the Sar Hanasa Bachutz is being Mechaper. That's what it atones for. That's because the Pasuk says, V'sir HaChatos, it says, Movad Chatos HaKippurim. That was the question. What is that coming to say according to Rabbi Eliezer? So and that is what the Gemara said, Al Masha Zemechaper Zemechaper. It means to say that just like the inner Sa'ir, this what's called the Sar LaShem, is providing an atonement only for something that has a part yediyah, as the Gemara there explains. So to the chitzin is only providing something that has a part yediyah. So therefore, one is coming to say if you have a yediyah beforehand and not at the end. The other one is if you have a yediyah at the end, that's a sar hanasa b'chitzin, not in the beginning. So if that doesn't qualify you for the regular carbon, which is a oil of a yari, that you have to bring a certain carbon. If you had tumas mikdash kedashav, the sar hanasa b'chutz and the sar hanasa b'pnimi, that is an atonement for the person if you only had one yediyah. And that's what we're saying, Mavad Chatas HaKippurim, That's not to say that it comes right after it. The way we say regarding, let's say, Musafim coming right after Tamid Shel Shachar, it's coming to teach you that it's comparing the Sar Hanasa Befnim to the Sar Hanasa Bechutz to say, just like over there was a part Yediyah, and it's providing an atonement for when there was Tumah regarding the Beis HaMikdash, so to here it's a part Yediyah, and that's what we're comparing Levad Chatzis HaKippurim, but not to say that it comes right after it. Actually, according to Eliezer, it's brought in phase 5, not in the beginning of phase 3. Now that we clarified the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva regarding their opinions, how they quoted in the Braisa, which we introduced because it wasn't clear of their opinions for the entire Seder from our Mishnah, so the Gemara continues quoting from the Tosefta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmai. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Kiva a different version how he's quoted in the beginning of the Braisa. He says, Echad, one of the seven lambs, Karvim Tamid Shel Shachar. One of them is brought to Tamid Shel Shachar. However, six of them are brought with the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. So though in the first version of Rabbi Kiva, he had them all together. Here, this version of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Kiva has it split up. One in the morning, six in the evening. Now, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Mishma, he says a different version in the name of Rabbi Kiva. Similar but different. He says, Shisha Kriven and Tamid Shel Shachar. We have six that are brought with the Tamid Shel Shachar. The Echad and Tamid Shel Bein Abayim, and one of the seven are brought with the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. So now the Gemara asks, "My Tamei Derabban, what's the understanding of these two different versions of Rabbi Kiva?" What's clear from their opinions is obviously that we're going to split them up. That part of them are going to be in the Tamid Shel Shachar, part of the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. Now they have different versions of that, but why are they splitting it up? So that the Gemara explains because Trei Kroy Ksibi, there are two contradicting psukim. Because on the one hand, Ksib it says in the pasuk Milvad Olas HaBeker. That we said is mashma, that it's brought with the Tamid Shel Shachar, as Rabbi Kiva was quoted in the first version, that it says, besides for the carbon Tamid in the morning, there's also the Musafim, and therefore we had these Shibbos Kfasim coming over to Tamid Shel Shachar. However, except but there's another pasuk, which after the Avodis Hayyim of the second phase, it says, V'yatza v'asa es oilasa, that he'll go out and do his oila, which is his ram and the ram of the people. Now, that pasuk is mashma, like Rabbi Eliezer had said, that first you do Taras Kayanim, which is Sefer Yikra, and only later do you do Sefer Bamidbar, which has the Musafim, which has it coming all the way at the end with the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So how do we understand this contradictory opinions, which the first version had actually, this was a Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, which one are we learning? But these two opinions in Rabbi Kiva are grappling with this contradiction. On the one hand, it sounds like it should be with the Tamid Shel Shachar. On the other hand, it sounds like that if we go according to the order of the Pesukim, you have Bamidbar after Vayikra, it should come with Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. So, therefore, this is how they both resolved it. Of Minayu Hachu, Hachu, you do some of them with the Tamid Shel Shachar, Uminayu Hachu, some of them with the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim, and that's how you resolve having both. However, the Gemara asks, so, B'mai Kamifugi, but what is their Machloikis? They're both agreeing that we have to split it up. Why does one say one in the morning, six in the evening, and one says six in the morning with one in the evening? So that the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda said, who you do only one at Tamid Shel Shachar and the six with the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. He holds Avot Chad. You do only one of the seven lambs in the morning, Kedachsiv, because you have to fulfill what the Pasuk says, Milvad Oila Sabaker. As we said, that the Pasuk says, besides for the Oila of the morning, you have to have right after that the Musafim, right after the Oila's Tamid. So you have to have at least one. However, he says you only do one, because Vahadar Avot Avodah Sayyim, after you do one of the lambs, then you do the Avodah of the day. Because if you're going to say, as the Pasuk is Mashma Mavara Lasapoyker, that you do all the Musafim with the Tamid Shel Shachar, then Dilma Chul Shel Cholish Kohen Gadol. Maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to get weakened. He had to do so many Karbanas already in the first phase, and he's not going to be able to fulfill the Avodas Hayoyim, which is the main atonement of Yom Kippur, which is phase 2, properly, because he's going to be all weakened out from doing so many Karbanas in phase 1. And therefore he says that we push off six of them to the Tamid Shel Bein Abayim. Rabbi Shimon Saba, he holds that no. Kiven the Askel, once you start, as we said, you have to start at least some of them, because it says Melvad Olas HaBoker, some of them have to be with the Tamid Shel Shachar. So once you start, Avet Shisha, you do the lion's share, you do six of them. And the reason is because Dilma Pasha, maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to be negligent, and that is he's not going to bother doing it after the Avodah Sayyim, because he did the main Avodah Sayyim Kippurim, he's going to be negligent, he's not going to complete it. Now, according to your concern, Rabbi Yehuda, that maybe he's going to be all weak, because he had to do so many, six of them at the first phase, and that is what Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, I'm not concerned about that. Because when he's coming to phase 2, which is the highlight, this is the once a year that he goes into Kachar Kachim, he's full of alacrity, and he's what's called Machlife Kayach, he has renewed energy, he gets a second wind. However, as Rashi explains, we couldn't do all the Musafim by the Tamid Shel Shachar, Because that was the contradiction that we had. Because on the one hand, you have Teres Kayanim, which has phase two, the phase three, the Oila Sa'am, and the Oila of the Kayan Gadol, that they have to be before Sefer B'midbar, which are the Masafim. So since we have to fulfill both of them, so we have to have the Seder HaKasim, the way the order of the Pesukim are, which is first having the Ayla and the Ayla on before the Masafim. Therefore, you have to have at least one by the Talmud Shalbein Abayim. But we also want to fulfill the way we darsh in the Pesukim, which has the Kfasim coming with the Talmud Shal Shachar. So therefore, we have to split it up, but we're going to do the most of them in the morning, six of them, because we want to, once we start, we want to do all of it. Now, we're not concerned about getting weak, because he's going to have a renewed energy doing phase two. However, we can't do all seven the Talmud Shal Shachar, according to their version of Rebbe Akiva, because you also have to fulfill the order of Pesukim, which has Sefer B'midbar, which are the Masafim, coming after Sefer V'yikar, which is phase three, and therefore it's going to be during phase five. Now, the Gemara has concluded the Tosefta. However, the Gemara makes an inference from both opinions. The Kuli Alma Mihas, however, everybody, in other words, the two main opinions, that of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, they both seem to agree that Chad Ailhu, the way they were discussing, they only had one ram for the Tzibur, because they were both discussing only the Ail Ha'am, there's the ram of the Kohen Gadol, and the one ram of the people. No one mentioned another ram, which is actually mentioned, another ram, in Sefer B'Midbar and Parashat Pinchas. So, come on. Who is this going like that says that there is really only one ram? That's Karebi, that's like the opinion of Rebbe, and obviously Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Laza both agree to his opinion. To tell him, like Linda Bryce, it's actually a machlekes. Rebbe Yemi Rebbe says, Ail Echad Ha'amr Khan, the one ram that's mentioned over here in Teres Kainim and Sefer Vayikra, where it says, Va'ail Echad La'ila, and the one ram is an Oila, Hu Ha'amr B'chamish Ha'pakudim, that's the same ram that's mentioned again in Sefer B'midbar. However, Shimon, he argues, he says, Shnei Eilim Hain, they're mentioned two different times in the Torah for a reason, because they're actually two different rams. Echad Amar Khan, one that's mentioned in the Sefer V'Yikra, Echad Amar B'chamish HaPakudim, one that's mentioned in the Sefer B'Midbar. So now the Gemara asks my time of the Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe? It seems the Torah doesn't repeat things. Why does it have it twice? It seems like there's two different rams. So on that he says, D'chsev Echad, because the Torah tells you it's one ram. The people are only having one ram. Obviously, there's no two rams. Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon, my Echad, what does it do with the term one? He has two rams. That's because miyuchid shebe edra doesn't mean there's only one ram. It means to say that it's the preferred, the best of his flock. That's the term echad related to miyuchid, that to say it's the one, number one, that's the best one, but not that it was one, really with two rams. Rebbe, where does Rebbe know that you have to get the choices from your flock? Nafkele mimifcha nidirecha, because he can't use it from echad, because he's learning that to say that there was only one, not two. He learns that from a different pasuk that says you always have to use the choices from your flock for your donations that you're making for kabbanis to the Beis HaMikdash. However, Elazar Reb Shimon, he says that you cannot learn from Mifcha Nederecha to tell you the halacha, and that's why you need Echa to tell you it should be the Miyuchid. Because Chad B'chayva, B'chad B'nadava, one pasuk is telling you the obligation of taking the choices when it's an obligatory offering, and one is telling it to you, the one of Mifcha Nederecha, when it's a donative offering, that it has to be the best. Utsrichi, and it's necessary to say it by both, as Rashi explains, because there would be a svar to say that, yes, when you're giving a donation, that has to be the choices. So that it should be willingly accepted by Hashem, because who asked you to bring it? Oh, this is your best, we'll accept it. But there's also a svar to say the other way, that when you bring an obligatory carbon, that should be from the choices, because this is an obligation, you better make sure you do your obligations the right way, which are the choices, and therefore you would think that maybe there would have to be, and that's why it repeats it twice, one from Echad and one from Mifcha Nederecha, to say that it has to be the choices, both by Chayva and by Nadava. However, Al Kaponim, one thing that we see is that both according to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Kiva, that they hold like Rebbe, who said there was only one aisle, and not like the other opinion mentioned, that of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, that held there were two rams that were brought for the Tzibur on Yom Kippur.